Let's take a little refresher course on Revelations. What we have learned so far, Revelation was written by who? John. Apostle John. Not any other John in the Bible, but it was Apostle John, written for the seven churches. And he wrote this in Patmos, in an island called Patmos. So it was directly sent to a particular group of audience. And he received this from God, from the Lord, through Jesus Christ, as revealed by an angel to him. So it was a vision. Okay? It was a vision that was given to him. And, you know, somebody from Awakening said, Pastor, it was so graphic, so very descriptive. And it was indeed descriptive. And you will see it more here graphically on chapter 15 and 16. So it was written for a purpose of communicating to the seven churches. But here also what John said in the Bible here in Revelation, Jesus promises from the scripture itself that he will bless those who read these words, take them by heart, and obeys them. I think I've said this before, that this is the only particular section in the Bible wherein when you read them and you study them and learn from it, that you will be blessed. Specifically, the word is there. Not only that, it's important to say here that the major theme that runs across this Revelation, as what we have studied in the last 14 chapters, is the coming end of times. There's an assurance and promise that Jesus is coming back. A lot of people still don't believe on that. There are still people who don't believe on that. But the Revelation is really very much focus on that theme of the return of Christ to this earth to establish his eternal kingdom that is coming near. He also commends those who are doing whatever they can to preach the word of God, even in times of trials and tribulations. And we learned that over the study. And he commends them and tells them to keep persevering. Keep focusing and fixing your eyes on Jesus and keep going, and you will be rewarded in heaven. But others here were yielding to false teachings. And you will hear that more on chapter, actually it's chapter 15 and 16, that even though God keeps on warning the people that were left behind and to repent, they don't repent. They even blaspheme God. They even turn away from him. And so the theme of a God who is a judge will be there. He will put upon his judgment towards those that disobey him. So really, Revelation is not meant to scare us. I want to get that for those that are watching also online. This is not meant to scare us or to make us guilty at all for what we have done and not we have done. Because at the end of the day, the grace of God is always there for us. We have to seize the moment when time comes. Because we know that the wrath of God is coming and there truly is an end. Based on what Revelation said, the end of this world. But in the end, God wins over all of evil. And our hope is found on our relationship with God through the saving grace of Christ. So let's pray. Thank you, God, for this journey of study and reflection and discernment and meditation. Thank you, God, for the gift of revelation. And I pray, Lord, that that this will be something that is not just a head knowledge, something that we can apply, oh God, as a living document, a roadmap that we can apply as we deal with the things of this world, the things that challenge us, And help us, oh God, to hear what you're going to say to us this morning through your word. And I pray, Lord, that you will help me be out of the way so that your spirit can truly be the one that will be honored and magnified. For it is in your name we pray. Amen. So I want you just to take a look at the Bible. Hold your Bible with you. If you have your cell phone with you, whatever, that will bring you back to the scriptures. We're going to study a little bit about chapters 15, 16, 17, 18. Those are big chunks of the book of Revelations. This now is coming now into full blown, what we call this the final judgment times. As we all know, John's vision is organized around three symbols, or three sets of symbols. The first set of symbol is what we call the seal judgment, seals. And the second was the trumpets. And the third is bowls. The first set of judgment came in a form of seven seals, if you all remember that, which was the focus of our study on Revelation 6. We discuss all about the seal judgment there, the seven seals, and then followed by seven trumpet judgments on Revelation 8. Now here on chapter 15 and 16, we come now to what we call bowl judgments. How many of you have bowls in your homes, in your kitchens? All of us have bowls, right? It's bowls like, and when you put things in the bowl and then put it like that, made a lot of big impact, right? Creates a lot of things, right? I think the vision that John had is almost like that. He used the image of bowl. It's like pouring out. This is the final pouring out of God's wrath to the world, as John envisioned. Again, this is vision, okay? So the chapter 15 is what we call the prelude or an introduction to what's going to be seen on chapter 16. So the chapter 15 is the preparation for what's going to happen in 16. And we all know in chapter 16, it shows the final series of judgments portrayed in seven bowls of God's wrath that are poured out upon the earth. But let me be clear here, and I said this at the Awakenings and also at Bethel Church. For those who are Christians and have professed their faith in God through the saving grace of Jesus Christ, I'm sure for those of you that are listening also online, I want to tell you this, we will no longer experience this. Because some people are asking me, Pastor, are we supposed to experience this for those who have, if you have Christ in your heart, the Bible tells us he will take care of us. Amen? He will spare us from the bowl judgment. Because of our relationship with God. So if you are a Christian, you will not be on earth anymore during the seven bowl judgment. That's what the scripture says. And he said that a great assurance. That's a great hope for us. But people still going to be there. And we're going to hear that more later on. That there's always an invitation for those that are not there yet. God will keep on inviting them to come back to the Lord. So let's go back again to chapter 16, showing now the final judgments. I'm going to go over with this like a teacher. I'm just going to pour upon you all about some information about the seven bowl judgment that will take place as envisioned by John in chapter 15 and 16. The first, if you notice that, the bowl number one declares that those who worship the image and bore the mark of the beast will have what we call painful and harmful what? Sores. If you have sores, that's kind of, it pains, right? It pains our body. So the scripture says here, people will experience how do you call that? Lotsome sores. It's going to be very harmful. And people who are not following God will experience that. God's fury is poured on humanity, as what John envisions. That's the first kind of judgment that will take place. The second, as found on verse 3 of chapter 16, bowl number 2 is poured out on the sea, turning the water into what? Into blood like a dead person's blood. And all that was alive, according to the scripture here in verse 3, died. See, in chapter 8, the sea had already lost a third of its life with the sounding of the second trumpet. And now the rest will be gone. There will be no more light in the oceans, as what John envisioned here. In other words, the sea of blood becomes the second wrath of God, according to John's vision, that will take away the final set of life thriving in the oceans. And I want you always to think this, because perhaps some of us may think, how can God do that? God is both a God who is merciful, a God of grace, reaching out to us in every step of the way. But also, John's revelation here reminds us of a God who is a God of judge, who is a judge God. And he is judging us, he's judging the people at that time, as what envisioned by John. He's judging now the people for what they have done and what they have not done. So in bowl number 2, bowl number two is poured out on the sea, turning the water into blood like that person's blood. How about bowl number 3? The rivers and the springs of water became blood as well. Verse 4. It is the third container that transformed all fresh water into blood. Number 4. The fourth bowl has something to do with what? The sun. Sun, as you all know, is a very important in life. Not just life on earth, but life in the whole solar system. So there's going to be a cosmic implication, as John envisions. The solar scorches human with its fire while they curse God. You know, the thing here, in the way John describes this, is that as the wrath of God is being shown and magnified, people still are set on their own ways. They're doing their things. They don't recognize the importance of turning back their lives to God, as found on verse 8 of chapter 16. Only a small fraction of human who curse God repent. And so the fourth bowl, the fury of God is shown here as he poured out on the sun, which was created with the moon on the fourth day. And this sort of kind of brings us back to Genesis. You all remember Genesis, right? The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule at night, and the stars and all these kind of stars and sun. So here, God used the symbol and image of the sun to really magnify the wrath, his wrath to the world. And that leads us to bowl number 5. The throne of the beast in its state has become enveloped by what? Darkness. Darkness in Revelation 16 verse 10. It covers the state of darkness. And yet, despite the darkness, humans continue to curse God and not turn from their sins. And so darkness engulfs the wicked here. As in the penultimate plague of Egypt, it's kind of resonating us back to Exodus' story of 3-day period of darkness across the entire land of Egypt. And of course, this was followed by bowl number 6 that causes Euphrates River to dry up, making it possible for an army of 200 million to get ready for the coming battle of Armageddon. And then finally, on the seventh bowl, the Bible says us that the seventh angel poured out this bowl in the air, and there were flashes of lightnings and rumblings peals of thunder and severe earthquake. No earthquake like it has occurred since man has been on earth. So the seventh and final judgment brings about an earthquake that is so great that it impacts the entire world as hailstones also fall from the sky. I'm sure for those that have just listening from what I'm saying this morning, you can just cannot comprehend the enormity of this experience. Just to hear one of the bowls that are being poured will be enough to wipe out everything, every living person here on this world. But I'm to extend it to one, two, and then seven. And so maybe we're asking ourselves, where do we see? How do we learn from all of this? But before we actually reflect, let me just quickly mention to you 17 and 18 chapters of Revelation. According to David Jeremiah, this is what you call the parenthetical section in the overall flow of the book. This section of Revelation 17 and 18 help us better understand the final events that will take place in the Great Tribulation. As you notice here in Revelation 17, John's vision paints a startling picture of a worldwide religious system that will arise during the end of times. A woman arrayed in purple and scarlet with the name Babylon the Great. Y'all remember Babylon in the scriptures? It was mentioned many, many times, particularly in the Old Testament. Anything that has to do with opposition with God is always connected to Babylon. It was mentioned more frequently, 250 times in the Bible. Second most frequently mentioned city, only beside Jerusalem. It's always presented as a place that is in opposition to God. And so the way John described Babylon is like whenever people experience the spirit of Babylon, there's what you call pervasiveness that are happening all across the world that is full of all bad things that are not in alignment with God. It's always connected to Babylon. But by the end of this Revelation 17 and 18, the Bible tells us that both the city and the spirit of Babylon will be completely what? Destroyed or wiped out. As you're watching on this online, and also for those that are joining us in person, you perhaps some of you are still digesting all these four chapters and saying, what can we learn from this, Pastor? How can we apply this in our everyday lives? I believe God gave us this revelation for us to apply it, not just for the future, but for the here and now. The lessons that we can learn are some of this. First, God judged those who rebelled against him. That's for sure. Amen? For those who have been straying away and have not, or stubborn and not given an opportunity, given a chance, and stay still going their own way, God will judge us. God judged those who are not doing whatever they can, even though the invitation has always been extended. God will judge those who rebelled against him. That's the first lesson that I believe we can learn from these chapters. The second one is that when judgment falls, there are people who are still refusing to repent. Isn't that what also happening now today in our lives? We have people that are still not paying attention to the word of God. They don't want to engage themselves in anything other than what they are used to. And the third also is that God always gives us a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, and many chances. And every step of the way, God always reaching out, even in the Great Tribulation time, even in times of final judgment, God continues on to offer an invitation for them to turn back their lives for Jesus. That's the third lesson we can learn here. And the fourth is to always separate us from the sins of Babylon. The spirit of Babylon, even now, the spirit of wickedness, the spirit that goes against and oppositions in the word of God, may we flee so we can separate from all those sins. And finally, to take every moment to share Christ to others. Those are some of the important ways on how we reflect on this meaning as we go back and bring this message to the world. I hope and I pray that we will reflect upon our own relationship with God this morning and take every moment to offer Jesus while there are still time to offer Christ to others. Let us pray. Father God, we know you have given us this revelation for a reason. We believe, O God, that the message is as timely as it was when John wrote this to the seven churches. We know, O God, that you are God who is merciful, loving, and caring. But also you are God who judges and who will judge us for all the things that we have done and we have failed to do. So this morning, Father God, may the word that we have heard pierce and really convict our hearts. And may your Holy Spirit draw us closer to you than ever before. May we take every moment to share Christ to others as we go forth from this place. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.